Hey friends, what's going on? Welcome to the Astro Hustle. I am Corey Allen. You are you, and as always, it is wonderful to be here in this moment of time, hanging out with you, talking with you, and all of those wonderful type things. I've got a great guest on the show for you today. The guest is my friend Alex L. Alex is an author, a certified breathwork coach, a restorative writing teacher, and just an all-around incredible human being. She's got a new book out called How We Heal, which, like her other books, is beautiful, deep, and incredibly nutritious. My friends, this podcast is brought to you by our good friends at BetterHelp. As I imagine you have figured out by now, life does not come with a user's manual. And it's kind of wild that it doesn't. You would think that even in school that would be taught about how to manage our mental health, what it even means, but we're not taught that. And we have to learn it somewhere. And a great place to learn it is by working with a professional therapist. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it is affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist, and if things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It could not be simpler. There's no waiting rooms, no traffic, and no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/astro. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/astro. Okay, the time is now. Let's go do it. Let's go talk to the brilliant and wise Alex L. One of the things that I like to do sometimes is look at the words that show up in the cultural lexicon and think about what those mean on an individual level and also on a large scale level. Why did these words, and you and I have talked about this before, why do these words emerge and become powerful and really attractive to people at certain times? And of course, it's because it's what I think us as a culture, as a society needs at that time. And so those words become powerful and sought after. And one of those words that has just really been at the top of the list for the last couple of years at this point is healing. So I'm really curious, because that word has so many entry points, how you think about it and what it means to you.
By definition, for me, healing is a radical act of self-choosing and self-advocacy. That's how I define healing. And it means that I am actively taking the steps to tell myself the truth and to get up close and personal with the bits and pieces that feel really uncomfortable. And then I also see healing as an act of community service. When we heal ourselves, we heal each other. When we start healing each other, we can begin to heal the world. And so for me, it's this multifaceted word. It's this multifaceted way of being in the world. And it invites us to see the truth of our life.
Beautiful. I love that. Do you think that whenever people initially go in to, as you said, look at the challenging aspects of self that are clearly making them unhappy and causing them to suffer, do you find that people usually look at those things first and then get scared or freaked out or just generally dissuaded because it's so challenging, and then they need to come back again or need time? Or do you find that people are generally able to move into those things pretty seamlessly once they first confront them?
I think it is always a work in practice.
Yeah.
Something that I don't like to sell folks is that healing will happen and then you will be healed. I don't believe that. I believe in healing being this forever love and a consistent invitation to meet yourself where you are, even if you thought you already healed from something. I think it's really important as well to understand that we don't have to become addicted to self-improvement to heal. And we are allowed to center joy in our lives as we heal and as we learn how to really face some of the really painful bits, but also some of the happier times too. Like being open to joy in our lives is a part of healing, in my opinion. I think it goes back for me, like, to being honest about what is hurting. I think that's really the first step. And then realizing that some things may always hurt and may always be tender, and that the goal shouldn't be to make the pain go away, but maybe to sit with the things and to be with the pain and to be with the suffering with grace. And that's been really challenging for me. Even as a teacher and an author and a meditation leader in this space, it's like, whoa, that's a lot to ask of a human being to be with, to be with all the things, right?
Yeah.
But I think I'm really drawn to Pema Chodron's work because she is like no nonsense and encourages us to look at the impermanence and to look at what's in front of us right now. And so when I'm teaching and writing and even in my own healing space, what I have to do is look at what's in front of me right now. Not even look at what's in front of me today, but like what is in front of me right now. And I believe that we can heal when we start looking at things on the micro level and stop turning away from them. And then also remember that we may have to heal from the same thing more than once, more than twice for the rest of our life. Like we may be caught self-soothing around the same thing. And that doesn't mean we are less than, that doesn't mean we're unworthy or that we're weak or any of those negative things that may come to mind because we aren't quote unquote healed yet. I write in my new book, How We Heal, that healing is a forever love and that we must pace ourselves through our process. I don't think it's rocket science. I don't think it's super deep and intense. Baby steps are still steps. And as we work through our healing and as we work through our path, I think we come to realize that more and more over time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's like I've discovered over the years that the same things just kind of continue to emerge in different ways. It's like layers and layers and layers of the same things that need to be excavated. Mm-hmm. And I like that you highlight the idea of like, you're never healed because yeah, that concept, no matter what the discipline is or practice is of just being a cooked goose is like, that's sign number one that you need to return to whatever it is that you're working with because life is inherently painful and like brutal mm-hmm. and we'll always be experiencing new, you know, quote unquote injuries. And to think that you're just kind of done with that is really just delusion. But I want to get into this thing of like returning to, you know, I'll call them injuries again, that often happened a long time ago in the process of revisiting those, because I think in our Western minds, we have this concept that like we have this really medication based and kind of solution based point of view where it's like, here's a problem, I'll do this to it. And then it's done. Mm-hmm. And whenever it doesn't work like that, because that's not organic, it's not real. Then all of those intrusive thoughts, the self-criticism, the self-limiting thoughts, the self-questioning, the self, you know, all the not feeling safe, all of that stuff really mm-hmm. begins to thrive. And so I don't know if there's one you could choose, but I'd love to just hear you talk about either personally or one that you've worked with someone else, something that you have to keep revisiting and maybe that you've kept revisiting for years that has either shown improvement or you have figured out how to accept that and integrate that aspect of your experience over that time?
I continuously have to unpack my childhood trauma and feelings of being unworthy, unloved, rejected, abandoned, so on and so forth. And the more I heal, the more I see where I still have pain points, and the more I learn to try my best to give myself grace. It is really challenging. It has shown up in my relationships. It has shown up, my goodness, in my marriage, in my work. And when that happens, I'm called or I'm invited to sit with it again. Like, why are you feeling this way? Let's unpack it. Let's look at it. What happened in that relationship or in that conversation that made you feel like an unsafe little child? And how does that now make you feel like an unsafe adult? And are you really unsafe? Like giving, like really asking myself these basic but tough questions, because I find that we heal and grow and change and evolve and become better versions of ourselves when we are most honest and not working from a place of fear, but instead working from a place of curiosity. So that's what I have been trying to do more and more of, is working from a place of presence and curiosity, especially when a trigger comes up in my life.
I love that. Yeah, self-inquiry is such a huge, impressive force. I think even in meditation, you know, applying self-inquiry to those things is really an interesting and valuable place to explore. And I do the same thing. Like whenever those weird defensive tendencies or that, you know, automatic speak, whenever you're in a conflict or some type of situation that is emotionally rooted to the past, like you're talking about, I do the same thing, and I try and do it just in the moment as much as possible and understand, okay, this is really the echoes of the past trying to hijack my present. And why is it still woven through time, and why is it still controlling me, really? Because it's weird that intellectually you can understand that you're not that and that you're not interested in having that type of feeling or behavior or reaction, but emotionally it's almost like this, like you're like a puppet or something. It's like the thing is coming up from elsewhere, you know? And it's like, and that's why I think a lot of it can become very frustrating and overwhelming for people. It's because they're like, well, I don't even want to be feeling this or acting this way, you know? But yet here we are. And so being present with it, as you said, really is such a viable way to be able to kind of start tracking that back and understanding it. And just like anything, like perspective is everything, right? Understanding is everything. And it's just a matter of like connecting those dots, understanding the situation and the ecosystem in which those thoughts triggered those thoughts to come forward and those feelings and why that was and et cetera and what it connects to. And it's amazing how, as you become more present and you open your awareness and your self-awareness, you can understand those things more clearly.
Exactly. Like, and that's, I think that's really what makes healing happen, is that self-awareness and the willingness to get clarity. My word of the year last year was clarity, and being clear. And actually, it's probably still my word of the year this year, because you can never have enough clarity in your life, right? I think that brings us closer to the truth, our truth, and it allows us to see other people without this lens of judgment and harshness, especially folks who may not be on their path to healing, changing, and growing yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the projection is huge, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I think that, you know, to me, just the more you zoom out, you know, and the more present you get, the more you realize that essentially everyone is just the exact same. We're all experiencing the same thing. And it's, you know, it's often, it's like the phrase, you spot it, you got it. You know, it's often the things about people that make us irritated are making us irritated because it's touching something in us, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just having more empathy for others and more compassion for others and just recognizing like, okay, this person is being, you know, even like you're in the grocery store and they're that person with the cart that just stops in the middle of the aisle for no reason. It's like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, well, you know, and instead of being like, you know, getting frustrated and being like, what are they doing? It's just thinking like, okay, you know, they're probably exhausted and have so much going on and et cetera, or you know, whatever the case is, just giving people the benefit of the doubt and understanding that like, you know, they're going through it too. And what's interesting is that I've, you know, had people ask me or have this sort of hesitancy to just share that automatic compassion and patience and perspective of people. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, you know, what does that do for me essentially? You know, and the beautiful thing about it that on a, if you want to call it a spiritual level, but also on a scientific level, mm-hmm. the more that you train your mind to be patient and to not create these assumptions and, you know, lean into judgment and what have you with other people, the more it trains your mind to not do that to yourself. And mm-hmm. it gives you more space and more patience to be able to be open with yourself and not judge yourself whenever you do things that you wish you wouldn't, or you do things that frustrate yourself, and you're able to, just as you said earlier, give yourself more grace in those moments.
Mm, I feel that. 100%. It's like stopping and pausing in the moment is what brings me back to clarity. I have a bumper sticker on my car that says, everybody's going through something.
Mm.
I have a little Buddha with praying hands sitting on the dash. I have an evil eye on my rearview mirror. And it's just like, this is a zened out whip so I can remind myself, not necessarily someone else, but I can remind myself like, yo, we are all humaning and trying to do that in a way that can be really hard in this world, right? And so it's like, let's find empathy and compassion, not only for ourselves, but for others. So I really love that story that you just told. And I think if more of us do that, and are intentional about how we move through the world, greater healing can really happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And especially on a one-to-one level too, you know, whenever you work on those things with yourself, just being more present and thoughtful and thinking more clearly and less reactively in those moments, then I found that this has a really interesting effect on other people.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that each of our voices and just kind of the resonance that comes from not what we're saying, but where we're saying it from,
yeah.
has this crazy power to it. And that's kind of like, you know, as someone that maybe that might sound too abstract to them, think about whenever you're talking to like a partner or something and you say one word like, hey, how you know, what's going on? It's like, I'm fine. It's like, oh, there was a whole story in that I'm mm-hmm. fine, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's often a negative one. But on the flip side, if you're speaking from that place of timelessness, of being grounded, of being judgment-free and really just on a human-to-human level, not a identity, this outer core, just completely false narrative of who someone is. You know, it's I used to say this thing all the time, like, if only we could go a day talking to people instead of our idea of them, you know?
It's like,
And so whenever you can center into that and speak to the person instead of your and everyone else's idea of them, it creates this amazing, like, placid vibe of openness, where just in that same way that someone says, "Hey, what's up?" and they're like, "Oh, I'm fine," and you're like, "Oh, they're pissed." You can the opposite of that is going like, "Hey, how are you?" even to a stranger, and they can feel, instead of the irritation, they can feel the openness and the freedom in that moment. And that I've just time and time and time again has proven it to me and been demonstrated that. That gives the other person the safety to open up and speak from that place within themselves.
Mm. I feel that. And I can relate to that 100%. And I think that goes back to when we heal ourselves, we heal each other. And when we see ourselves, we see others. Like, that is so monumental. To be able to display that you see someone else's suffering and they feel safe enough with you to say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's this lady who works at our local Target, and we always exchange, you know, pleasantries, and I normally get into her line, and she's so sweet. And I asked her one day, "How you doing?" You know, making small talk. But she told me how she was doing. Like, "Oh, I'm not doing that well." And she told me why. And I sat and I listened and I offered her a warmth, hand on heart. I offered her a smile and I offered her eye contact. And she told me that she remembers me because I listened to her and I saw her. And I remember thinking, whoa, that's major. Because there would have been a point in time in my life where I wouldn't have even asked how she was doing. I definitely wouldn't have sat and listened to how she was doing. I would have hurried along. And so when we heal ourselves and when we give ourselves the space to do our own inner work and healing and softening, we become more receptive to those around us who may need softness and healing and an ear.
Absolutely. It's amazing what that can do for someone too, and what that can mean for someone. You know, it's so easy whenever you get stuck in the momentum of your own life, focused on, you know, whatever your goals are and the things that matter to you, to forget that almost everyone out there is struggling with something. And some mm-hmm. people, as you said, don't have anyone to even be a witness to their own existence. And just on a humanist level, being able to slow down for 2 minutes, you know, and be with someone just as another human being, it costs you nothing, you know, and it's mm-hmm. like what that can change the trajectory of someone's entire life. You know, it can make them feel like, oh my God, my cup was, the last drop was evaporating. And that person, you know, Alex just poured some, you know, water in there. Like, oh, I can, you know, it's so powerful what that can mean to people. And what's crazy is it doesn't even have to be this big theatrical thing, yep. right? It's like,
yep.
I think that's where people kind of get it twisted sometimes, is they think that they have to like turn it into this cartoon. It's like, no, just be cool. Be a person. Just be there for a minute. You know, that's mm-hmm. it. That's all it mm-hmm. takes.
Mm-hmm. Just be there for a minute. Mm. That's what I've been thinking a lot about, Corey, is like getting back to basics by just holding space. And not over talking it, not over dramatizing it, just being there, being with it, and whatever else hits the fan. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, be it with myself or with somebody else. And so I can, oh my gosh, I just resonate with that so, so deeply, because it doesn't always have to be something huge. to be something magnificent for someone else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's like, that's something I've tried to repeat just like over and over for years, because I've lived through the dumb version of it personally. Like I did all the stupid things of like, oh, after I'm done meditating, I now have this sense of levitation, and I am a sun moving through the world, casting light upon, you know, the, it's like, nah, it's just so much different than that. You know, like that is all just, those are all twists and turns as you're going through the woods of ego and self and figuring out what and why you're actually doing what you're doing. And it's not bad. It's just a necessary part of the process, you know, that you have to get through. But whenever you get through it, you realize that like, no, it's just the same as it was afterwards, right?
Absolutely.
Whenever you get deeper and deeper into that, that's whenever some of the almost kind of sensationalized aspects of what we're talking about, that's whenever you actually live those things, is whenever you stop trying to sensationalize them, right?
Yep. Stop trying to heal and just heal. Stop trying to meditate and just meditate. Stop trying to show up and just show up. Like that, and that's hard.
It's really hard. It just takes time. It takes time and discipline. And that's like one of the ways I try to expose that muscle in people's brains to them in the terms of meditation is being like, okay, this is going to sound easy, but try it. And that's just in your meditation, point your focus on your breath. And for 10 minutes, observe your breath without trying to control it. Just let it do its thing while you're focused on it without controlling its depth or its rhythm or anything. That's basically what we're talking about, is being aware of the unfolding and the reality of the complex situations before us, but having the presence and strength and focus of mind to be able to engage with those things without trying to make them more like you or make them bend to the will of your intellect, and allowing that to get out of the way. It's almost like playing a drum kit, you know, where you have to different rhythms and different hands, but being present with a thing and aware of it without trying to change it. And that's whenever you get into that seamless flow.
That is a seamless flow. That is it.
So speaking of seamless, let's just seamlessly get over and talk about your new book a little bit. It's really beautiful. Congratulations on it. I mean, just physically it's beautiful, and also conceptually, it's a really beautiful idea.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for the world to have it. Really, really, really excited. It's a labor of love, that is for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If people only knew what books take, you know, it's...
They only knew.
they would never want to write one. So how did the idea come to you? So, you know, just to me, it's so interesting to have this collection of stories of different amazing people and their own paths and journeys and kind of practices that they do to heal and for themselves and in their own ways. And I found it a great idea and really useful, because it shows that this stuff is not one size fits all. However, there is continuity between all of us. And it shows that there's no right way, in quotes, to do everything, that there are just ways to do it that help you, you know? Mm-hmm. How did this idea come about, and what inspired you to create this collection?
So I really wanted to break up my lessons and stories with other people's lessons and stories. So How We Heal essentially is a guide for how I used writing to heal myself and to be an act of self-care. There's meditations in there, there's journaling prompts, there is, you know, personal stories of mine, and then I also interviewed about 13 women, and we talked about their healing practice and processes. And the reason why I did that is because healing is so multifaceted. It's not just, I don't want people to just see how I heal. I want people to see how we collectively heal. And so that was the beauty behind interviewing folks and having their stories also in the book, because it really does show that we can resonate with each other in different seasons of our healing and different seasons of our life. And we can uncover and set ourselves free as an act of community care. So that is the story behind that. And I wanted and want people to realize and trust that they are their own greatest teacher, and that they can see themselves in other people's stories, and they can also create their own story.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Love that. Now, what was the most surprising thing for you, or a few surprising things that you discovered while you were hearing kind of how other people did it?
That we're all the same. that we're all the same, and we're all so different. So there's that duality. I also felt like it was important to have this unique and diverse approach to writing a book, because I don't want people to be bored with what they're reading. I want people to really engage with my work, which is why I set up my books how I set them up. Yes, there's my stories and my teachings, and also, yes, there's different prompts, kind of, and I call it breathing room. So the interviews with the other folks, that they're short, but they're breathing room, so they can take a break from my lessons and learn from someone else. The meditations and journaling prompts are breathing room, so they can take a break from my lessons and my input and insight, and also try to figure out their own input and insight. So having an interactive book, I mean, all of my books are pretty interactive. So making books in that way is because I don't want to just be the writer or the teacher. I also want the readers to be their own writer and their own teacher, the author of their own story.
I mean, that's really how this stuff actually works, is you have to get people to get it into their lives and start living it and start experimenting with it and just finding out what works for them, as opposed to reading a story about, you know, how someone else did it. Is having that extra, you know, syncopation of tools and ideas and practices that someone can take off of the page and into those moments is where it all begins. Because of course, like, you have to have the knowledge first of how to deal with the situations that you're trying to overcome or work with. And then once you have that, as they arise in life, you can apply that knowledge to those moments. And that's whenever we have wisdom and insight and really growth and all those type of things happen. It's a beautiful way to have all of that structured into your book.
Yeah, it was definitely intentional, and I'm glad it came across that way. So thank you so much. And I'm not sure how much of the book you've gotten to read yet, but I open it talking about how insecure I was writing the book. Because I'm not a researcher, I'm not a clinician, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist. And so I had a lot of imposter syndrome around making this book. And something that I had to realize was that my life and lived experience is enough. And I love being able to be vulnerable in that way with people who read my work, because I know that I'm not the only one who's thought, I'm not qualified to be talking about healing, but I am, because I'm a human and who's healing. And so it was a lot of just a conversation with myself and with my husband and with my team. And I'm so happy that the book is out, or will be out next month. And November 8th is the pub date. And I'm also hoping that it supports and holds people in a way that makes them feel like they are enough right where they are.
Yeah, that's really important, because as you're talking about, you know, people need to get in there and do all the work themselves and really start doing it in their lives. But I think even in those cases, people feel hesitant because they can feel unqualified to even do that themselves, right? So they don't feel, that's one of the, another thing I try and stress is like, people get into this zone of sitting around waiting for permission, like someone else's permission to start the practice, to feel like qualified to take action, to start making choices in their lives, whenever it's like the only permission you need is your own, you know? And again, it's just one of those perspective shifts of clarity where it's like, oh, right, I can choose to start making different decisions and, you know, changing my behavioral habits and my thinking habits right now, and just understand that it's a process and just choose to start that process. Mm-hmm. And work like yours is really beautiful because I think it really encourages and inspires people to do that, to take their life in their own hands and to start, you know, I think you offer a really loving and gentle approach to these things, but a very deep one too, you know, which is important. And it really gives people the space to enter that world within themselves and start to build the confidence to move forward and unpack and to start getting to that place that you and I have been talking about.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for all the work that you've done. And thank you for coming on the podcast. It's great to speak with you again. And thank you for creating the book. I'm really excited for people to read it, for it to get out the world, and for it to just continue creating more and more change in the community of humans.
Thank you for having me. It's always great to chat with you. And it was great to come back on and talk about the book and talk about healing as the act of community care, you know, like, I love it. So thanks for saying yeah. It's so good to be back with you.
Of course.